The DUP politician Nelson McCausland has criticised the way the 1916 Easter Rising is being taught to children in Belfast. He made his comments in a column in the Belfast Telegraph. He claimed an uncritical take on the Rising is very concerning. In short, former minister suggesting young minds are being led astray. Nelson McCausland is in the studio with me now, along with Chris Donnelly, the Vice President of Holy Cross Boys Primary School, one of the schools criticised by the DUP. Man, Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. And Nelson McCausland, good morning to you. So what's wrong here?
Well, my attention was drawn, first of all, to the performance of a play by an Irish medium school from West Belfast. It was a performance of a play about the 1916 rebellion, and it was performed in the Roddy McCorley Social Club in West Belfast as part of a festival. And the other elements in the package for the evening were that immediately after the play about 1916 by the children from the school, there was then a performance by an Irish band which seems to specialise in rebel music. So it's, that sets the context for the play. To see pictures in newspapers of children from the secondary school dressed up as characters from the 1916 rebellion. The boy in the picture was holding a wooden replica rifle, if I can describe it as that. And the whole image was one, when you took the whole context into account, it was one which to me seemed to eulogise, to affirm, to validate the Republican narrative around 1916.
Well, Chris Dolly, you represent one of the schools involved in this.
Yes, indeed. I'm Vice Principal of Holy Cross Boys Primary School. And if I can, I'll in a minute outline what we're doing in the school that obviously Nelson appears to have a problem with. I'm going to start, first of all, Stephen, by saying Nelson appears to be concerned about impressions being left on young minds. If I was Nelson McCausland, I would be more concerned about the impression that he leaves in indelible minds, young and old, by his antics, meeting recently with a housing association that opposed much-needed homes being built for Catholic families in his North Belfast constituency. I would be thinking about Nelson McCausland's contribution towards community relations in North Belfast when he supports a deeply polarising loyalist Twaddell camp situated at the most sensitive sectarian interface in this city.
Well, he's going to need to reply to both of those. Let him reply, Stephen.
Let him reply when I want to,
then you can set this out. You want to reply to that, Nelson?
Well, the comments from Chris Donnelly do not at all surprise me. He is a former Sinn Féin election candidate. He is quite a strident Republican commentator and blogger who has very strident views and I think quite divisive views. So I wouldn't not at all surprised
what
by his
comments. What he's saying?
Well,
precisely.
There is absolutely nothing really of any substance of what he's saying. For example, if we take the issue of the return parade by the Ligonier Lodges up to Ballysillan, I think that, that is something that is a legitimate right. I think it's something that should be respected. Unfortunately, Republicans from Ardoyne, and in particular the most extreme of them, have been very strongly opposed to it, but so have Sinn Féin. And the fact is that people there are being denied their basic right to return home at the end of parade. But that's not the issue. I think quite clearly, the fact even that Chris Donnelly goes off at that tangent shows that he's trying to divert attention from the reality of what has been happening and what I've identified in several schools. By the way, if he wants to actually get down the road about issues around that area, he might also like to explain how it is that the school grounds of his school are actually used every year for the Ardoyne FLA. And maybe listeners will recall that that was the rebel Sunday night where the Druids were supporting the IRA, shouts about the IRA, send the Brits home,
the
send
the
Orange.
School can't be responsible for what a band does at one particular concert.
Yeah. Sorry, if I could just make my point and finish it, Chris. Simply this, I don't know of any other school anywhere that would allow its facilities to be used and grant their use for such a divisive and offensive and appalling event.
First of all,
presumably that wasn't scripted in advance.
Yes, well, first of all, Nelson, I note, refused to deny that he has opposed building Catholic homes for Catholic families in its constituency. I think
that's absolutely. Oh, sorry, I didn't get a chance to deal with that. I'm happy to deal with that indeed. But again, it shows clearly Chris Connolly's intent on diverting attention from the issue.
So you've denied that, just to be clear. Yes, you're denying that. Absolutely denying that.
So as Minister for Social Development, we built hundreds of houses for the Roman Catholic community and for the Protestant community in North Belfast.
No, as I said at the start.
If we go on all morning here, we're not actually going to talk about the subject that we're supposed to be talking about, which is these school plays.
Yes, can I outline what we're doing within the school, Stephen? And that's what I wanted to do is preface, because there was an allegation about impressions being made in young minds. I think it's wholly legitimate to point out the agenda that Nelson McCausland has as a politician in what is a deeply divided community here in North Belfast. Now, the Easter Rising is a seminal event in Irish history. The occasion of the 100th anniversary of it, Stephen, has been rightly seized upon by many teachers to provide a theme through which learning can take place in a connected learning environment of the new curriculum. And that's crucial, because of the way that the new curriculum is taught. And I know Nelson was a teacher up until 1981, but things have changed since then. We very much are actively encouraged to think of topical issues and plan teaching in a circular way, in a connected way, around what are the themes that are prevalent within society.
And are your children in your school being told that what happened 1916 is something to celebrate? Are they being told it's something
Well, you don't use terms like celebrate.
Well, what are they told?
Well, that's what I'm going to outline to you. We have produced a short drama on the 1916 theme, which is part of the one of the All Ireland initiatives that was agreed by both education departments. We have an art competition inviting pupils to imagine the Ireland of 2116. 100 years from now, so you have children who have brought in, you know, posters with all sorts of gadgets and perhaps buildings and new landmarks in Belfast. A learning initiative based on the ever-popular Minecraft game, Stephen, which involves children designing buildings from 100 years ago, and those are the future. We've written a proclamation for a new generation, which is based on the Easter Proclamation template, but really it's involved the Student Council modernizing that document to reflect what they see as rights and entitlements today. So they talk about focusing on free education, well-being of minority communities.
Right, but this is all fine, Chris Donnelly, but let's just cut to the chase here. Would you teach the UVF gun running from the 1910 in the same way?
Well,
would you let children pretend to be gun runners?
Well, nobody's pretending to be gun runners or anything else, Stephen. Now, let me just pick up your point there, because you see, in this divided society, the school culture is often reflective of the prevailing culture of a local community. Now, let me give you an example. I would be somebody who would be across many schools, because I'm a passionate believer in shared education and working collaboratively with school leaders in other schools. So I would know that the many schools I've been to, there will be plaques dedicated to British Army regiments that have visited the school. I know that there are British Remembrance Day ceremonies.
Would you teach the UVF gun running from the 1910s in the same way?
Well,
would you put on a play?
Well, let me tell you this, Stephen. As part of our assembly, we have a child acting as Edward Carson. Not only that, as part of one of the presentations that we've done for the boys on this theme, we talked about the history of the Irish national flag, but also of the Union flag, and broke it down in terms of the symbolism of the three flags together and what that means.
Well,
because
Nelson,
that's what education is about.
You can explore a subject in many ways, but the thing that struck me most forcibly was that when there was a news item on BBC about what happened in the school, there was a small boy aged around 10 years or 11 years of age who was dressed up as one of the rebels, who was presented as being wounded and was in a uniform with blood on the bandage, who was obviously dying, and whose explanation of the character that he was portraying was a man called O'Rahilly. He is a soldier fighting for freedom against the British Army. In the context of the school and the community, and Chris Donnelly was very clear there about reflecting local community, in that context, that is reinforcing, that is endorsing, that is affirming, that is validating a Republican narrative about 1916.
Yes, and
I'm concerned that the ideas
that
have troubled this generation, as indeed previous generations, will be passed on to another generation. Is that what we want to do to the young people of today? Too many people have ended up in jail. Too many people have died. Let's not pass that on to a new generation.
Nelson's problem is he doesn't realise that almost half of the society believes that Republican narrative about 1916 for a child, or children would have different beliefs. Obviously, they hear from the home in different places. But for a child to say that a soldier, who an Irish volunteer who fought in 1916, was fighting for freedom, that's something that's believed by the overwhelming majority of people in Ireland, north and south. Now, clearly not a majority, perhaps, in the north. But in terms of nationalist Ireland, that's a widely held belief. And unfortunately, Nelson is representative of those within unionism who struggle to accept the need that they must have in this new order to accept the legitimacy of another narrative that isn't the British and unionist outlook of what has happened.
You can go back to that in a second. I want to bring, there's lots of people talking about this already this morning. Anne, morning, Anne.
Morning.
Go ahead, Anne.
Well, I couldn't have said it better than what your guest said just now there. It's very selective. It seems to be when it's politically convenient, history is completely rewritten to suit the agenda, whoever the DUP has in charge of whatever they have in charge. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Historically, 1916 was a pivotal moment in Irish history. It is a legitimate pivotal moment. It's historic. You can't turn around and go, oh, well, we don't think it's politically correct for one side to think this, and therefore we can't have
it. Well, you have a chance to speak to Nelson McCausland this morning. What would you say to him?
Oh, Nelson, please grow up. I'm so sick of listening to it. You're so hypocritical. You vote for certain things on one side and not on the other. You're never even handed about any of this. If anybody was on saying, we don't have the right to celebrate the Battle of the Boyne in schools, that there shouldn't be plays about the Somme in schools, that you shouldn't be dressing children up and letting them be in the 12th of July parade in front of bands playing sectarian music, you would be up in arms.
Let them respond here.
Well, tradition, you know?
To be honest, I don't think I need to say too much to respond to the caller. I think her extreme views are really condemnatory of themselves. It's interesting, there's a conference coming up very soon about intergenerational transmission of thought from one generation to another.
But you're not going to respond to that caller of what her perception is of the uneven-handedness.
Well, she obviously comes from a Republican background. That's what I'd expect her to say. Doesn't surprise me at all. She's obviously wrong,
but
that's what I expect her to say.
And you would let schools celebrate the Battle of the Boyne and be out in Orange Order?
I have to be honest. Well, schools don't generally, individual children
do. Would you be happy for them to do so?
I think there's a marked difference between the events of the Glorious Revolution, which established democracy and cast aside tyranny in the United Kingdom. It was a fundamental event, an event that shaped, in fact, Europe, because it had European dimensions. Very different from 1916, when the Irish Republican Brotherhood, an extreme militant organisation that was committed to terror and murder.
It's a key moment in history, wasn't it?
Yeah, and let me just, we're giving people an opportunity to describe. Of course it was a key moment. But it was an event. Let's get the truth about it. The Irish Republican Brotherhood was an oath-bound terrorist organisation in which a secret group then organised an insurrection and a rebellion and killed British soldiers.
So what they're trying to have is an established one truth about history.
No, in fact,
and the truth is your interpretation of it.
In actual fact, that's not the case. Just want to make this point. We are living today still, I think, with the lethal legacy of 1916. Because the celebrations of the events around 1916, 50 years ago, contributed in some way, I think, to what happened over the past 40 years in Northern Ireland. We're living with the legacy of people in distant republicanism who are trying to hold faith with this mythical past, this republican ideology that's passed on from generation to generation, that they need to hold faith with the past. I find that disturbing. Okay. I think we're in the danger of condemning another generation, and I also find it disturbing.
All right,
Stephen.
I want to hear from one second, Chris. I want to hear from one more caller, and I'll come to you. George Lashankle. Go ahead,
morning,
George.
Stephen. Morning, Chris. Morning, Nelson.
Good morning. Good morning.
Just, Stephen, I've said it many times in this programme, and this just proves a point. Now's the time, if ever, and I would like to think your two contributors agree with me, now's the time, if ever, to do away with all separate schooling in this country. Bring our kids together from nursery age and show them there's no difference. And teach these things, teach the narratives of both persuasions to the kids from day one so they can get two views and later in life they can make up their own mind of which view they'd like to go down. You know, you'd maybe even get some sides in the unionist side running with a Catholic view or a nationalist view and vice versa. You'd maybe get some nationalist kids growing up to say, well, look, all along, I mean, I think this was an insurrection, as Nelson said. You know, leave it till the kids, but certainly do not separate them from kinder school. Get these controls, Catholic-maintained schools and state-controlled schools done away with, and teach kids from day one, from 5 years of age, together. Because we're never going to get anywhere in this country in case we're doing that. Chris is talking about that. I mean, I disagree with Chris going off the subject at the start, but it goes to show you where we're going to lead to with conversations like this. I went to Somerdale School, 400 or 500 yards from where Chris's school is. I couldn't tell you nothing about the Irish Rebellion. Only things I've read from social media started and things I've looked into myself. You know, I should have probably been taught about that, and kids in St. Gabriel's across the road should have been taught about the Somme and high men from both stations in this country and both parts of the island.
Pretty compelling point there, Chris Donnelly, from George, isn't it? A couple of yards across from your school, and one kid is taught one thing and another kid another, yes. Even in 2016.
Yeah, well, not in 2016, because I can tell George, and I thank him for his call there, and I know he calls his programme quite regularly, the pupils of Holy Cross Boys would be able to tell him what the Union flag stands for and when it's to be called the Union Jack, the symbolism of it. The pupils of this school, primary four every year, go to the Northern Ireland War Museum.
No, but Chris, that's not the point I put across, mate. It's teaching about the Somme and what the Somme is. Not about the flag, about the Somme, but the history of the Somme and about how both traditions in the island went and fought at the Somme. You know, I can't see where that's being taught. You're teaching about a flag. You're not teaching about the history. You're certainly giving them a narrative and an insight into 2016, but it's the same, and I think Nelson McCausland's honesty, is the same sort of schooling being taught about the history of the Somme. I'll tell you where you should take them. So listen, here's a thing, maybe a school trip for you. There's a memorial stone in Woodvale Park. So there is opened, and it's the European memorial stone. And there's Germans and all celebrated on it. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful stone. And maybe go and show the kids around, tell them what that was all about and what it caused within this country. You know, and the lasting legacy of it within Europe.
Well, of course, the Somme is an event that would feature, would be talked about in different schools. And what I did mention earlier, we also talked about Edward Carson. But I don't want to deflect, because I think there's an important point there that was missed. When Nelson was asked about teaching of the Orange culture and tradition, now he's on record only 6 months ago on his website, where he writes columns, as writing this. If a child comes from an Orange family in which there is an affection for an affinity with the Orange Order and Orange culture, then there should be respect for the Orange Order and Orange culture in the classroom. It should not be denigrated in any way, and that includes denigration by the willful exclusion of Orange culture. To suggest to a child that Orangism is something negative or divisive would undermine the child's respect for his parents and his family. Now, that's Nelson's own words. So clearly, Nelson is telling us that schools are obligated to teach a positive interpretation of the Orange Order and Orange culture.
Is that
makes him a hypocrite.
I think that under the UN Convention on the Rights of the child does have the right to learn in school about the history and identity of the community from which it comes. That's a basic point. But also alongside... Sorry, if you could just let me finish.
There will be different interpretations of history,
indeed.
Won't there?
And I just want to make a second point, please. In the UN Convention, it also speaks, in effect, about community cohesion, about building a shared society. That's my concern, that this is actually, if we go down the road that Chris Donnelly and others want to go down, we're actually endorsing and affirming deep, deep division. Should children learn about the music, the traditions, the pageantry and so on of Orange culture in schools? Yes.
It has to be
not a problem.
It has to be in a positive way, and none of it can be critical.
Oh, I think it can indeed explore. And that's what I want to see. I think that the tragedy is that instead of having a thoughtful conversation about 1916, what we're having is a very effusive celebration of 1916 and the Eastern Republic.
But why can't Chris's school teach in a positive way the 1916 rebellion?
Oh, it could be taught in a thoughtful way. My concern...
How do you know it's not?
Because having listened to your report on the BBC, having read what I read in the Andersonstown News and on the their associated website and on the school website and so on about the events in West Belfast, I think that taking children, as happened with the Irish Medium School, into what is effectively a Republican club, I would say a Sinn Féin club, in West Belfast, to perform their play there, to have what is a rebel band performing rebel music, all of those sort of things around 1916, songs that are supportive of the IRA and so on. That's the sort of thing that happens in those clubs. That's the sort of thing that happens on the premises of Chris Donnelly School year after year when the flood takes place. I would ask Chris Donnelly, does he think it's not time? Is it not time? Well, that the school actually turned around and said, no, we don't want such divisive, sectarian performances on our school.
Okay, and Chris Donnelly, you'd want to reply to that, yes, especially when Nelson accuses you of not teaching in a thoughtful way.
Yeah, well, Nelson's flailing around because he's speaking from a position of ignorance. See, he didn't at any time try to find out what was being taught in the school. Stephen, what I outlined earlier was, you know, through the use of Minecraft, through Proclamation for a New Generation, through an art competition, through a 32-county challenge where children learn the names and locations of the 32 counties of this country. How is any of that, an attack on anybody else or trying to poison children's mind? I mean, it's offensive to this school community that Nelson McCausland would even seek to put his feet in it this way. And let me say this, I think it's quite revealing, Stephen, because what he's really doing is he's casting aspersions on the integrity of not just the school community and the leadership of the school community, which is the principal, Kevin McGarry, even myself. Now, unbeknownst to Nelson, clearly, that is not a view shared within his own party. And I can say this, that within the last 18 months, an elected DUP politician has been in this school at his request to come and find out about what teaching and learning in the school.
Well, you mentioned, you mentioned the West Belfast event, Nelson.
Yeah, the Ardoyne Flower.
And the,
I said that the school grounds were used.
The playwright, Maura McNally.
Well, sorry, before we go there, could we actually get the answer from Chris Donnelly? Does he support their school premises being used for performances by the Druids, the Wolf Tones and other Republican bands as part of the Ardoyne Flower? Should school premises be used for that?
Well, I think, first of all, the school premises is something that is concerned of the Board of Governors of the school.
But he's able to give us a lot of opinions about a lot of things. Does he support it or not?
I would certainly be fully supportive of the Ardoyne Flower.
So he supports
a great event,
including the Druids.
When that event happened, I was critical of that because I thought it was wrong for certain things to have been said, and I think even the FLA organisers at that time came out and said that that was wrong.
Well, when the Wolf Tones are there singing songs that are supportive of the IRA, does he support that as well?
That's not my concern in terms of, I don't believe
it's your school. It's your school.
I would know this, that the school, where the school is contained within Ardoyne, it's the furthest possible point from any of the interfaces.
Is it school supportive? Avenue, is the vice principal supportive of school premises being used for groups singing pro-IRA songs? Yes or no?
Well, I don't believe that the Ardoyne Flower should be vilified by yourself in this
way. Yes or no? It's a simple question, Chris. Do you support the performances that eulogise the IRA, crowd shouting up the rah? Is that the sort of thing that should happen on premises that belong to your school?
Well, I would be hopeful that we'd be able to move away from anything like that.
Well, not so just move away from it, because it happens year after year. Do you support it or not?
Well, I would be hopeful that in time you'd move away from that. But let's be perfectly honest, Nelson, you support bonfires and loyal order parades where bands... bands playing all sorts of music, and you argue that they should continue to be funded.
Just let's be very clear on this.
No, let's be clear.
Argued
repeatedly money should be given to bonfires, that money should be given to Orange Fest, and we know that bands involved in both will be playing music that is supportive of the UDA and the UVF, and at no time have Republicans said that that is a condition that should be used to stop funding either event.
Because
we know that that's a historical element of this society. Now, I would be hopeful, my personal belief is, I'd be hopeful as a society we would move away from that.
Okay.
But that's not deflecting the fact
I want to bring this playwright in.
Have an opportunity, somebody, just to say there. Year after year after year on the school pitches there in Ardoyne, we have this what is a rebel fest on the Sunday night of the FLA. And year after year, the school still allows its premises to be used. Perhaps it will happen that there's a change this year, that they'll say, no, we don't want that sort of sectarian thing on our school
and
premises.
Do you think, just to explore that a little bit more, Nelson, so do you think public money should be withdrawn from any Protestant bonfire event during which there has been glorification of loyalist paramilitaries?
I'm quite happy to discuss bonfires if that is the subject that I've come
it's
in
not
on
the question.
Sorry, no, just let me finish my point here. We're talking here about a school. I know of no school.
You're going away from my question.
Sorry, no, I'm not. I'm
yes,
sticking
you
to
are.
It. Sorry, just please. I know of no school within the control sector where a board of governors will say our school premises could be used for that sort of sectarian event.
You're going
event.
Off the question.
I'm just making my point because
you're
I need to...
You're making the point by not answering my question.
Yes, I know. But I think, quite honestly, Stephen, there is an attempt here to move away from the issue which is about children and schools. Funding, yes.
Children go to bonfires.
Children go to bonfires, children go to the chip shop, so what?
They do. So, let's get public back to money issue. Doesn't fund a chip shop. So just to make sure that you address my question, yep. If there is public money funding bonfires during which there is a legacy
and
that particular bonfire of glorifying yep. loyalist paramilitarism, do you think
and that is
public
why,
money should be okay. withdrawn?
And that is why when money is granted from some councils, not all councils, but some councils, give small amounts of money to improve bonfires, to make them better manage the rest. And one of the conditions is, by and large, as far as I know, certainly in Belfast, where I have some experience with being on the council in the past, when that happened, there were conditions attached and people did not get the money if they didn't meet the requirements.
Okay, but it's a pretty simple question.
Yes.
Do you think money should be withdrawn from bonfires if there is glorification of loyalist paramilitarism?
The purpose of the funding was to improve the
do
standard...
Do you think... Yes or no?
The purpose of the funding was to improve the organisation of bonfire, and central to that is that it should be a well-organised event and one which does not encourage ideas, thinking, actions that are inappropriate. Absolutely. I have no difficulty in saying yes.
Okay. Nelson, right. Thank you.